across the nations. I was really praying about who would help, who could help, and who would be the best fit to really help be an apostolic voice and covering to those churches. And God brought Pastor Ray and Gail Kirkland here, and I invited them here, and they've just done an amazing job. Pastor Ray will be going this week to England, and he's already been all over the world. Pastor Ray, come up and share. This is our mission Sunday. Come and share about what God's doing in Church in Iraq and what you've seen God do so far.
We're really excited about all that God's doing, and we take it serious to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We believe that, and this year we've seen a lot of great things. I think we have a film clip that we can show. This is started in the first of the year. We had over 60,000 show up in India at one of our crusades, with about 18,000 people giving their lives to the Lord during this conference. As you can see, hopefully you can see those pictures. Let's go to the next screen. Then we went into Haiti. Now, this is where Dr. Maiden was supposed to be there, but if you remember, he had a little health issue, and so he stayed behind. What was exciting is that we had a couple of young second-generation preachers, Pastor Brian Resendez and Pastor Daniel Williamson, step up to the plate and really do a great job. Let's go to the next screen. This little girl here was brought forth for prayer from Pastor Daniel, and when they brought her up, she has dressed real pretty, and they laid her down, and he thought to pray for healing. But when he touched her, she was very cold, and her skin was kind of an ashen gray color. As you can see, that's not the color of her skin at all. They took her away, and little known to us, the mother come back celebrating, saying that she had been dead for 2 days, and they were on the way to the morgue. And so God raised her from the dead, and so we're really excited about that miracle. Let's go to the next screen. This is our work in Saltillo, Mexico. This is some of the pastors we work with there. This building behind you, you can't really see it all, has 19 rooms in it. We designed these rooms to bring in abused women, prostitutes, abused children, and we're within just a few thousand dollars of being done so that we can have a school that the government requires, and we'll have the facility open. Go to the next screen. You can see the rooms there with the beds inside we are preparing for. We've got 9 rooms filled now, but we can't fill the rest until we finish the school. The next screen. And this is where we was in the Philippines. Now, we went to the Philippines. This is just some of the pastors in just Manila proper. Go to the next screen, and you can see that we had quite a conference. Yeah, there's a conference there at Manila. We had a great time as God moved with thousands of people being touched, thousands of lives being touched. The next screen, we went down into Bacolod, which is on Negros Island, and these are some of the pastors of that island. And just while we was there one afternoon, saw some kids playing basketball, preached the gospel to them. Go to the next screen. And so we had to water baptize them after we got done getting them saved. Amen. So we had a bunch of them get saved. It was just awesome. Go to the next screen real quick. This is in Mexico. We have works all over Mexico. It's exploding in Mexico. Great, great things of God happening there. The next screen, we went into San Salvador. I'm not sure if you can see the pictures well enough. I suppose you can. We had a great, great conference in San Salvador. Let's go to the next screen. Again, you can see them all in the balconies just worshiping the Lord there. It was, what you can't see is it's about 3 times hotter than it is here. Amen. Next screen. Again, these are just some of the pastors that we were launching out of that conference in San Salvador. It's just a great time of God. Next screen. In Honduras, each year, we serve a lot of children. This last year, about 1,600 children with dental care for the first time in their lives. We've trained the workers. I'm not sure I'd want them to work in on my teeth, but the kids are happy. And so, next screen. This is just, we work with a lot of widows down there. This is just Gail giving a widow a bear hug. Her name was Victoria. And because of our love to her, we gave her a blanket and just loved on her. The next screen, you can see that she felt the desire to give to us, and she gave us a pack of bananas. That's all she had in her life. And so just her heart to serve the men of God, the people of God. The next screen is we are seeing something happen beautiful on the Labor Day weekend with the Navajo Reservation. This is last week's, they call it Ranch Camp, and they had about a 1,500, I believe, last year. Go to the next screen. They have 2 tents there. One is for the actual service. The second is for prayer that will happen 24 hours around the clock and worship. The next screen. You can just see them worshiping in the tent, the Navajo people. God is beginning to really visit Native Americans all across the nation. The next screen is they started out their ranch camp last year with a walk, and they walked across many miles of the reservation just praying and asking God to move. And we'll go to the next. And you can see this year they're going to have 450 horsemen. They're going to start in Farmington, New Mexico, and ride from Farmington, Mexico, all the way to Flagstaff. That's a long way. And they're going to declare and decree the word of God over their nation, over their land, asking God to move and touch their land. Next screen. They're expecting over 2,500 in attendance, and we're going to be there with them and helping them. They're just believing God for a larger tent. They need about $15,000 for a larger tent so they can have more growth. And the next screen is just you can see them just worshiping the Lord, loving God, just great things that God is doing on the reservation there. The next screen, and just some good old cowboy days. Amen. They have a lot of fun out there doing cowboys. Here's what I love. Look at this next scripture. It says, if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will shine, rise in darkness, and your night will become like noonday. God visits us when we bless his people. Amen. I want to thank you for partnering with us. I want to thank you for all that you're doing in global evangelization to help us as we reach out. We really are together making an impact in the nations. Amen. And we're lifting up CFTN around the world and what God's doing here and seeing that reproduced. Let me give you one more quick testimony. I received it yesterday, a telephone call from a pastor in Memphis, Texas. That's, you land in Amarillo, drive 100 miles out into the desert, and you come to Memphis. And what happened to him is about a year ago, God spoke to him that there was real famine in the land. There's been a drought there for many, many years. This year, over 30 ranchers in that community had given up. They said, we're done. We can't go anymore. This is our last year of ranching. The drought has just taken it away. So the church began to stand on the scripture in Deuteronomy 11:13 that says, love the Lord your God, serve him with all your heart, with all your soul. Then I will give you rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, your oil, and I will send grass into your fields and your livestock that they may eat and be filled. So the church began to stand against the stronghold of famine in their land. They began to decree that God would move. When you fly in, you can look down and there's a 100-mile circle of patch of green land right around Memphis. God has caused 18 inches of rain this year on that desert spot alone. 30 ranchers have now come into the church and are serving God because of what they've seen the miracle of God happen, because they're learning how to stand up and decree. He said it was released when he joined and began to connect with us in Church on the Rock and began to invest in missions. God began to move in their church. I don't believe God just gives us a blessing to raise our standard of living, but to raise our standard of giving. Amen. I believe that. And so I want you to make your checks payable today to CFTN. Mark on it missions if you would. Help us to continue to do what we're doing. I want to promise you that we are firmly committed to good stewardship of the funds that you entrust to us, and that we will use them faithfully to honor the attention of each one of you. We thank you for your giving. If you're using an envelope, just mark on it missions. God bless you today. Amen.
Stay here for a minute. Pastor Ray, some of the things that we're getting connected to are just so exciting and almost overwhelming. Can folks from our church, if they wanted to, come on a trip with you or us? You travel much more than I do, to either overseas or to some of the pastors' conferences and the other things we're doing.
Absolutely. We encourage you to come with us. I believe every young person ought to go on a missions trip. In fact, I think young men aren't quite ready for college when they get out of high school. It'd be a perfect time to send them with us somewhere. This year we're going to Reading next, and then we're maybe into Japan, then to Chicago, and then we've got invitations just all over the world. So you pick a place, and you're welcome to go with us. Also, it'd be awesome if we could overwhelm those Native American Indians. You just drive to Flagstaff, head for Loop on Labor Day weekend. We could bring a lot of people out there and watch God do some miracles out there on the reservation. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ray. If you're interested and just want more information, talk to Pastor Ray or Gail. Miss Gail has just been awesome. Administrative support for Church in the Rock, which is the Church in the Rock International, consists of us three as far as our team full-time. So I'm excited what God's doing. Please, and the most important gift you can ever give us is prayer. So we will. I think one of the things we're going to do is really devise a prayer strategy that is really laser focused on some of the things that are already happening, some of the great works of God around the world that we're privileged to participate in, and then beyond that, the things we feel the Lord would have us do, like birthing 1,000 churches in the next decade in Europe, That's what we're talking about this next week in conferences and at six or eight churches that we'll be ministering at, and excited for sure what God's doing. Amen? It's a great time to be serving the Lord. Hey, our staff made a beautiful brochure for today's message. And if you'd like this is a good keepsake because it really has in it a prayer strategy that can last months and months for you. And you can retrieve it whenever you want to kind of refresh yourself. Today is the last message I've been doing on the series Strength Training for Kingdom Reigning. Dress for Success is our subtitle. Our main text will be in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Follow along with me, please. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. God's will for your life is that you be strong. By his kingdom, his spirit, his word, by his anointings, his grace, he gives us the option of strength whenever we're weak. Listen to this next sentence. Spiritual strength never comes into our life by accident. In the kingdom of God, it is always by appointment. So we can make an appointment with God. Every moment you spend with God makes you stronger in his word and his spirit, worshiping him and praying to him. Time with God equals spiritual strength. So weakness is always in the kingdom of God a temporary condition for believers. Sorrow may dwell for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Whenever we grant a temporary emotion a permanent place, it always displaces the kingdom of God's best for our life. So we're commanded to be strong in the Lord. God never invites us, or in this case, commands us to do something without empowering us and then giving us the information on how to do it. So we're commanded to be strong. That's God's will for our life. I will say something here as gently as I can. God loves weak believers, but can't use them for much in his kingdom. See, a father loves all of his children equally. That's father and mother. That's righteous love. That's a true heart. But in the kingdom of God, weakness disqualifies you for certain services. So God loves people that are weak but can't use them. So the stronger you get in your faith, in your walk with God, the more useful you become to heaven's purpose on earth. Can I have an amen from the Southern Baptist congregation? Thank you. Verse 11, here's now the way we become strong. Put on the whole armor. Panoplia, that's the Roman infantry soldier's armor. Put on the whole armor of God. Dress for success. Look like Jesus. That you may be able to stand against. Antihistamine means to stand violently, aggressively against the foe. Stand against the wiles. Methodia is the word wiles. It means strategies of the devil. So we have been given by God's word and his spirit, the grace of Christ. We've been given the same clothes Jesus used to whoop the devil for 3 years. We've been given what heaven wears. We've been given the undefeatable armor of Jesus Christ, the armor of the Spirit that never loses a battle once it's engaged in a believer's life. So we stand against the strategies of the enemy. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle. Pele is the Greek word for wrestle. It means hand-to-hand vicious combat against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So a couple points. You have to get this. Never fight people when you're supposed to be fighting devils. Fight the devil, forgive the people. So whenever we lower our eyes, whenever we lower our belief to where our real battle is, we will always have inferior results. So if we want something, it doesn't matter if it's a business, a family matter, a political matter, an economic matter, a ministry matter, whenever we engage totally on a physical, human, or fleshly level, we will always have that same quality of result. So spiritual warfare is real. It doesn't matter. I hear this periodically in the body of Christ from Christians and even from Christian leaders. I don't believe in all that spiritual warfare stuff. Newsflash, it doesn't matter if you don't believe in the spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare believes in you. My senior year of high school, during a spring little celebration, they did something fun, though. So the whole school's gathered in the courtyard, and they had the two biggest football players, two-star football players, Pete Hamstra and Steve Niebuhr. They're all state athletes. And so they were going to have a blindfolded pillow fight. So they took over, not just a normal pillow, but they jammed like 5-6 pillows into this massive thing. You know, it's enough to knock you out, baby. So they got these huge pillowcases overstuffed, and now both the guys are blindfolded, so it's going to be, you know, they're swinging in the dark. And at the last moment, they took off Steve's blindfold. Steve realizes he can see, and Pete can't. Steve goes, "This is awesome!" He walks over to Pete and starts pounding him successfully, and Pete's swinging in the air. What's going on? And the funniest thing, you know, because it took a minute or two for Pete to catch on that the joke was on him. You can talk about, "Oh, I don't believe in fighting the devil," all you want, but as long as you do, the joke's on you. Because all the stuff, well, I just believe the Bible does not say, "Ignore the devil and he will flee." The Bible says, "Resist the devil." You tell him to get out of your marriage. You tell him to get out of your children. You tell him to leave your finances. You tell him to get out of your church. You tell him to get out of your... Resist the devil. Bind the devil. Rebuke the devil. That's how you deal with devils. Not like this. "I don't see you." Well, I don't believe in chasing devils. I just believe in fighting them whenever I face them. And you have to get this, because once you develop a spirit of fear, or once you develop a philosophy to not deal with things in the spirit, in spiritual warfare, you become a casualty to any moment Satan wants to pull out the card. So we wrestle. We wrestle. So we're in, Paul's using the most strident, the most severe language you can. He's using language that got everyone's attention because they knew about Roman wrestling. In a wrestling match, a Roman wrestler would usually not leave the ring. Two men went out, and usually only one man left that ring alive. There was no rounds. There was no rules. You could gouge, bite. You could break bones. And sometimes the opponent would relent. But most of the time, by honor's sake, they would rather die than leave the ring in defeat. So Paul said this is a life and death struggle, and never forget those people you live with or live next to or work for, those aren't your battle opponents, the devil is. Principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. Never forget where spiritual warfare really happens. Okay, verse 13. "Therefore, in light of the fact of the spiritual agencies, this demonic army of various levels, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand any histamine," to stand against. We get the word any histamine. We take it to fight against bacteria or allergies. And so God says, "I'm going to give you something that fights against, opposes, to takes a strong stand against the enemy's tactics, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all, to stand." So stand what? We stand ready for battle. We stand during battle. We stand after battle. We keep standing. Verse 14. So let's get into now how we stand. "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth." Now this is just so essential. And I want you to get this. In the kingdom of God, we have been given authority over every work of darkness. There's nothing that hell has that you as a believer don't have authority over. Can I have an amen? But the enemy is the ruler of the darkness of this world, and he only has authority over us where darkness is found in us. So, what does that mean? Primarily, it does not mean, well, you know, someone sinned. We all struggle. We all are imperfect. But the distinction is this. The first step to spiritual strength is brutal honesty with God and people about your life. Put on truth, or as I like to say, make sure your underwear is clean. Y'all with me? Honesty and integrity disarm the weapons of the enemy. So put on truth. And I have some scriptures and lots of scriptures you can see. Remember the synagogue, Mark 3, it's in your notes. The guy comes with a withered hand and imperfection, a real problem. Everybody knew the guy because outside of the church, they're all friends. They work together. They have family together. They're all related and like Marla said, in community together. But by Mosaic law, people with physical deformities could not attend, could not enter into the temple. So how they went around that, instead of believing for people to get healed, they just believed for people to hide. So they told the man, here's how we get around it. As long as we can't see your issue at church, you can come to church. So whenever he came to church, he would put his hand in his garment. He would hide his issue. Jesus comes to church. He knows what's going on. He looks around, and he finds the guy with an issue. And he says to the guy, today's your day. And here's the way you're going to break into freedom. Show everybody your issue. And Jesus said, stretch forth your hand. And the moment he stretched forth his hand, it was made as perfect as the other hand. And the Lord said to me years ago, if you reveal it, son, I will heal it. If you conceal it, I cannot heal it. Y'all with me? Spiritual, you become strong when you become transparent. You become strong when you have integrity. Integrity is not a lack of weakness or a lack of sin. Integrity is the admission and honesty to God and people about your life. So we are tempted in the culture of the church to, in fact, it's just a human trait. We want people to think the best of us. But if it costs you your strength to pretend to be someone you're not, it's not worth it. Dishonesty keeps you weak spiritually. So any kind of pretense in our life will always have a negative effect of robbing us from heaven's strength. God's heaven is attracted toward honesty, toward humility, toward integrity, toward transparency. Heaven rushes into the life of the transparent person. Blessed are the pure in heart, they're going to see God. So we want to make sure that we begin our journey by not allowing secrets to pollute our soul, but making sure we're open. Amen? Tell someone next to you, if you reveal it, Jesus will heal it. Tell them that. Okay. Before I go on, let me just do this quick summation. In 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah gets in trouble because Jezebel, who's an embodiment of spirit of witchcraft, speaks against him. Has nothing to do with female, male. It's a controlling spirit. She says, tomorrow this time I'm going to take your head. He hears those words. He does four things. Number one, he isolates himself. Signs that you're under spiritual warfare. Number one, desire to isolate yourself. The time when you least feel like going to church is the time when you most need to go to church. The time when you least feel like being around your Christian friends is the time you most need to be around them. Isolation, its desire, is always a sign you're under siege. Number two, he became unusually physically fatigued. So, in other words, spiritual warfare had a physical effect of depleting his natural strength. I don't know why I'm tired. So I'm just tired all the time. I don't know what's wrong. Well, you might need vitamins, but you might need to fight the devil. And take your vitamin. Take your vitamin and kick the devil out of your... Okay. Number three, this is important. Because a prolonged season of spiritual warfare will always end up robbing you of hope. So people that are discouraged and demoralized, depressed, or hopeless, whether they recognize it or not, they're under spiritual warfare. Okay? When hope walks out, depression walks in. So spiritual warfare is when the devil clouds your mind about the promise of your future. Oh, that was so good. I'm going to write it down myself. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So whenever we can't see, they're telling me, Pastor Debbie, Pastor Ray, they're telling me that this is the first generation in American history that believe their lives won't be better than their parents. Millennials. They're reading all the tea leaves, you know, the economy, the structure, all the things. So, well, Pastor, that's just reality. No. That's spiritual warfare. Amen? When you're young, you should believe all things are possible. If you lose hope as a young person, you have no hope to survive the battles of life. I promise you. Hope is the oxygen of the human soul. When it's gone, we begin to suffocate under the oppression of the things around us. Okay, go on. So, next line, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, number two. So righteousness in the Bible is what Christ has done for us. Here's what the Bible says. He made him who knew no sin to become sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So righteousness is our kingdom identity. The revelation of your identity empowers you to overcome the weapons of your enemy. In the battlefield of spiritual warfare, people that don't know who they are in Christ never win. Who are you? I know Paul, I know Jesus, who are you? Bam! You have the devil. Well, I'm a child of God. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror. I've been adopted. I'm accepted. I begin my day by telling myself, I remind myself of who I am after life tries to tell me who it wants me to be. Amen. I am loved. I'm accepted. I'm the beloved child of God in whom he's well pleased. He sent his son for me. He's not mad at me. He's not turned his back on me. His love will never leave me. We sing about it. So our identity is one of the most powerful tools in spiritual warfare. Just walking in your identity will overcome most of the weapons of your enemy. The devil said, if you are the Son of God, turn the stones to bread, jump off this. So three times Satan challenged Jesus' identity. And Jesus said, I don't have to do nothing for you because I know who I am. When you know who you are, you don't have to prove yourself to people. And whenever we try to prove ourselves to people, we always fall into presumptuous acts. See, when I was young, I was an overachiever. And I realized, not in everything, in athletics. I wish I would have focused on academics when I was younger. I did in college. But I overachieved. And so I just outworked people. But as I got a little bit older, I realized that part of my motivation was unhealthy. I wanted to achieve success. So people say, hey, that guy's an achiever. No, it doesn't matter if you win the race or lose the race. You're still loved by the one who sent you to the race. It doesn't matter. God's opinion of me does not vacillate according to my track record of successes. Thank God for that. Amen. So I am who God tells me I am. And so our identity is heaven's weapon to unleash authority over our enemy. Okay, I got to go faster. I'm going slow. But this is such good stuff. And so it goes on to say, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of truth, of peace. Everybody shout peace. So a Roman soldier's shoes were awesome. They weren't cute little Jesus sandals. They were shoes that on the bottom of them had spikes. So these quarter-inch, half-inch spikes, what happened was, in the battlefield, if the enemy could knock you down, he could finish you off. So in hand-to-hand combat, whoever loses their footing always loses their life, or at least is wounded. So the Romans figured this out, and so what happened, the Roman soldier, he would, facing combat, he would jam his foot into the ground. And when he would take a blow, it would send him back, but it wouldn't knock him over, because peace will hold you up when the enemy tries to blow you down. When the storms of life come, now get this. The peace of God is so powerful. If you can keep your peace in the battles you face, every battle where you keep your faith, your peace will end in victory. At the top of the Roman soldier's shoes, okay, so the bottom of those spikes, at the top were two-inch spikes that stuck out like that. And so not only was a Roman soldier's feet for security, for safety, to keep him immovable in the face of, but if his hands were occupied, he would lift up his leg off the ground and send a kick into the shin or the leg or even the chest of his enemy, because peace is not just your protection, it's your weapon. Jesus said to the storm, "Peace." Okay, man. The storm said, "Oh, wow." Jesus said, when you walk into a house and it's in chaos, peace. When you go to work tomorrow with all those crazy, peace. Your peace is so powerful, it will not only protect you from getting knocked down, it will change the environment of every place you go to, and you can kickstart revival by bringing heaven's peace to any problem you face. Know this, Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you. Ain't nothing like what the world's got. Ain't nothing like, no one can take it from you, and nothing in the world can compare to it." Amen? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, the Bible says. Amen? Okay, so peace is so powerful. Go ahead and kick the devil some peace today, amen? I got my peace shoes on. Okay, next verse. 16, above all, or outside of all, take the shield of faith, by which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. There's so much here. I left you a lot of notes, okay? So, thurio is the word for shield. It means a door. The Roman soldier's shield looked like it was a rectangular shield, looked like a door, small door, maybe 3.5 feet, sometimes 4 foot high. It was made by layers of treated leather. And the end result of 6 or 7 layers of treated leather was it was strong as steel, unbelievably strong. In all of the Roman soldiers' artillery, all of his weaponry, all of his panoply, the only thing that needed daily maintenance was the shield. So every day a Roman soldier was given a rag and oil, and his job was to rub the oil into the shield so it would maintain its flexibility and strength. If oil was not applied to the shield, when the shield was hit in battle, it would shatter. So God says to us, have you rubbed your shield today? Have you prayed in tongues? Have you worshiped me? Have you spent time in my word? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith requires daily maintenance. Amen? So then the soldier now, he's going to quench by this shield. David, if you've seen a good movie, you know, I try to watch ones that are historically. More and more, they're kind of attaching to some historical honesty. But the shields could interlock and form like a battle ram. When they did that, they were impenetrable as a troop. But anyways, so the Roman soldiers now, they're about to go out and fight. And so the last thing they would do, they would all walk past these huge barrels of water. And just before battle, he would take his entire shield and dunk it into that huge barrel and bring it out. And the water would still be on it in battle. And so when the fiery arrow would come, shoo, and it would land into the wetted shield, the fresh moisture would quench the new heat. You have to get this. Because faith doesn't just achieve. Faith keeps more stuff away from us than it brings stuff to us. I can always tell when my faith level's low when people get to me. Y'all with me? I can always tell when I need to wet that shield. Ah, get down there. Need a word today. Need to spend time with God. So bellows is the Greek word for fiery arrow, fiery dart. It was two things. Either, you know, an arrow with a rag that's lit on fire, sent. But the Romans invented a superior arrow to that. That's when they would hollow out the physical shaft of an arrow and fill it with explosive materials that upon impact would explode like a grenade. So here comes the explosion. There's going to be a flash point. If your shield is wet, it will quench the intention of how? Come on. Spiritual war, when fire starts tinging us, it's because our shield needs repair. Amen? Our shield needs repair. So, there's so much to say about that. Oh, Jesus. Okay. Read your notes. Take the helmet of salvation, verse 17. The sword of spirit, which is the word of God, praying always. Okay. In 1 Thessalonians 5, there's great insight when it says the helmet of the hope of salvation. Now, this is very important. Because whenever a believer is not wearing the helmet of hope, they will always be brain damaged. That sounded funnier when I wrote it this morning. What does that mean? So, a Roman soldier's helmet was this massive metal instrument coated with foam on the inside or coated with a soft material. And it could withstand the direct blow of an axe and not be broken. So a sword or even a battle axe hitting that person's head, if their helmet's on, their head is uninjured by a direct hit from the enemy. Now, it's called the helmet of salvation here. In 1 Thessalonians 5, it's called the helmet of the hope of salvation. There I got it. When people lose their hope, their mind becomes vulnerable to every assault of the enemy against their life. Bam. And when the devil takes your mind, he takes your life. Fiery darts aren't just relatives around you. They're thoughts, okay? The chief ammunition of hell are thoughts. And when your helmet is on, hope filters out the nonsense of the enemy. Yeah, someone put it on right now. I'm putting my helmet on. Yeah, man, I got hope. It's going to get better. Life is good because God is good. My future can't be bad because my God is good. You cannot believe in a good God and expect a bad future. So put your helmet on. And then the sword of the Spirit. In Hebrews 4, in Psalm 149, the Bible calls the sword of the Spirit the two-edged sword. The word two-edged sword in Greek is diastomos, which means two mouths. It means this. God speaks to us. He forms a blade of truth called revelation to speak to us about our lives in his word, by his spirit. Through prophetic oracle, he speaks to us. Number two, when we say out of our mouth, but God has said out of his mouth, we will unleash heaven's sword to accomplish victory in the earth. When we say what we hear, we'll see what we say. Can I have an amen? So here's the whole armor of God, verse 18. If you're going to get dressed up, you got to go out. You with me? The whole function of all this armor is to pray always. Pray, someone say pray always. Okay, with all kinds of prayer. And I begin my day kind of moving through these things, taking care of personal business, taking care of my heart with God, taking care of transparency, reminding myself who I am, amen, putting on my faith, digesting some scripture, praying in the spirit, spending time with God, worshiping, and then the outcome of that, then My mouth becomes sharp to say something. I start saying things. I proclaim this. I prophesy this. I intercede for this. The two-edged sword then becomes this powerful tool. Notice it's the last thing mentioned. It might be the most important thing as the offensive weapon, but it's last because you can't run the battle with no armor and just a sword. I got a word from God. Yeah, that's great, but make sure you're walking in integrity. Make sure you're walking in your identity. Make sure your faith level is up. Make sure you got your hope carrying you. Make sure that you are possessed by peace. Make sure that all the things that are essential to the outcome of the kingdom, which is victory in your life, are there. God's will is that you be strong. God's kingdom gives us strength through his armor, putting on the whole armor of God. Faith stops as many bad things from happening as it starts good things from being birthed in our life. God, I thank you for your kingdom. Come on, lift your hands to heaven, everybody. God, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, God, for your amazing gift to us. I know it's kind of silly, but would you mind just standing up? Let's just do this. Let's just go through this exercise real briefly. Put on the whole armor. So pretend like you're putting on your waist girt with truth, you know. Clean undies. So, Lord, we put on transparency, integrity, and honesty. If we confess our sins, he's ready, faithful, just to forgive them. Thank you, God, for strength. Number two, we thank you for who we are, that we are who you say we are. We are more than conquerors to him that loved us, that we, God, are the apple of your eye. We are sons and daughters. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, God, for your truth about who we are. I believe who you say I am. And I confess that I am your child, that I am your world shaker and history maker. Then we take up the shoes of peace. And so right now, just take authority over anything in your life that's trying. Peace is more powerful than your problem. Peace is more powerful than your storm. Peace has more authority than the devil's weaponry. So just, God, I thank you for your peace that passes all understanding. Here's the Bible says, cast all your cares, get rid of all the anti-peace forces in your heart and soul and put on peace. Take God's peace. God, thank you for your peace that passes all understanding, that guards and rules our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And the shield of faith, get your shield ready. Go like this with your arm, okay? We're going to get our shield out here. Thank you, God, for our faith shield. Thank you, God, that your word is true. The Bible says he that prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Thank you, God, for the faith you give us, that we can grow stronger and stronger and stronger, that overcomes the devices, the strategies, the wiles of the enemy. Thank you, God, for faith. Thank you, God, for strengthening, increasing our faith. Put on our helmet right now. It's practically, we put on the helmet of the hope of salvation. And God, we're going to walk in the belief that our tomorrow is better than our today. That just because you're good, our future is good. Because you're always good, our future is always good. That the best is yet to come in our life, God. That the end of a thing is better than the beginning of a thing. That we're confident that he that has begun a good work in us will also finish it. We put on our helmet of hope. And we take the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, the two-edged sword. And we confess your word. Always the most powerful prayer you'll have will be in two ways. Praying God's word and praying in God's language, tongues. Those two things have the most precise accuracy in spiritual warfare and spiritual for spiritual results. Prayer team, would you please join me down front? Thank you, Lord. Come on, lift your hands to heaven one more time. We're worshiping God. We're worshiping you and praising you. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want you to be honest. I have endured more spiritual warfare this year than I have in 20 years. I know it relates to my assignment. New levels, new devils, that whole thing. I get all that. I'm calling the church, beginning next Monday, not tomorrow, into 10 weeks of prayer. And so every night here from 6 to 8, we'll be open, or 6 to 7, or 7:30. We'll have a room here somewhere on campus open. It might have to change some nights by classes and stuff. But we're going to have prayer for 10 straight weeks beginning next Monday, week from tomorrow. And we're going to start praying for our prophecies to be fulfilled. We're going to start praying until something happens. Push. We're going to start praying until the famine is broken. We're going to start praying until the finances are released and our family is saved. We're going to start doing some serious praying. And so invite you to that We'll talk more about that next week with maybe a schedule. And so we are taking the commandment of being strong in prayer very serious here. But I want you to be honest. You say, Pastor, I've been in spiritual warfare. I recognize by what you're talking about. Today, we're giving the devil a black eye. Today, we are standing with you for the healing, the restoration, the re-strengthening, the repositioning of your life in Christ's name. If you say, Pastor, that's me, I'm under spirit. I've been in some spiritual war. Just wave your hand at me. Doesn't matter if it's, you know, 10 or few. So here's what I want you to do. I know it's late. I know we got it, but I'd like you to come down. If we have time, we'll pray for you all personally. But I'm gonna say a prayer over you after you come down. Everybody raise your hand, come down, because today's your day for a breakthrough. Someone say, it's my breakthrough day. The rest of you, as you're coming, would you sing with Pastor BJ as we worship the Lord?
Jesus, I love you. Yes, I love you. Because you first loved me.
Toward those that have come forward today, you in the audience, stretch your hands toward them. Father, I pray in Jesus' name today, I declare the blood of Jesus over all of my precious brothers and sisters. I boldly declare no weapon formed against them can prosper, and every word spoken against them in judgment we condemn. I declare over their lives in Jesus' name that greater is He that's in them than He that's in the world. Over their life, I declare, God, a summer of miracles, a breakthrough moment. Thank you, God, that the tide is turning. What the enemy is meant for evil, you will make become good. Thank you for renewing their minds. I command every demonic assignment to leave your mind and soul and body. We rebuke the enemy. We take authority over his weapons and works. We declare your life now in the hands of God and God's powerful spirit working on your behalf, the anointing breaking yokes and lifting burdens in Jesus' name, that God's word is healing you, delivering you, and helping you. God, I thank you for deliverance in this moment in Jesus' name. Come on, sing it again. Yes, I love you. Come on, lift your hands to heaven, everybody. Jesus, I love you.
Jesus, I love you.
Rush out. Everybody stay at the altar until you're prayed for. God bless you. See you Wednesday night.